SAFM Market Update with Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
We've been hearing the term water tanker mafias of late, and it seems as though this problem is not necessarily a new one, but certainly one that does need to be addressed. We're going to be taking a look at this in a bit more detail and trying to make sense of what exactly is going on here and how exactly we can address the problem. I'm joined on the line by the Chief Executive Officer of the Water Institute of Southern Africa, Dr. Lester Goldman, to take a look at this and see what we make of it. Dr. Goldman, lovely to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. The South African Human Rights Commission has stated that, in their view, the water tanker mafia damage, or the damage to water infrastructure that's being done, should be treated as terrorism in the country and should be dealt with legally from that perspective. Clearly, that means that this problem is an exceptionally serious one.
Yes, Jimmy, and good afternoon to the listeners. Yes, sir. For the layman, understanding the, you know, the water tanker issue, it's like imagining a house with a leaking roof. And instead of fixing the roof, the owner keeps buying buckets and pays people to stand under the drips, empty the buckets and move them as the leaks spread. This is exactly what's happening with the water tankers at municipal level. It doesn't make sense. We need to stop paying indefinitely for these proverbial buckets. We need to fix and secure our infrastructure. Look, amongst others, water tank mafias appear to be criminal organizations that disrupt water service delivery so that they can provide water tanker services at an inflated cost to municipalities. So they are therefore destroying state property and depriving communities of a constitutional right for personal gain. And I think that's the comment from the SA Human Rights Commission. You know, we sit with a further problem that how do these mafias even know that they will win such water delivery tenders once supply is disrupted, unless they are working with corrupt individuals within the municipalities? So we sit with a double whammy in that we are spending a lot of money and we're still dealing with what appears to be either collusion or corruption, you know, within municipalities.
Dr. Goldman, you mentioned the fact that this effectively could be a part of an inside job, and that's what's causing this, the rise of the mafia. But that's not the root cause of the problem. I want to take a look at the infrastructure side of it, because for many, many years in South Africa, we've had the problem of not maintaining infrastructure as we should. And I want to take a look at that and perhaps the impact that could have on the disruptions that we're seeing today.
Absolutely. So look, I mean, if we look at some root causes to this challenge. And when I say challenge, it's not only necessarily water tankers or water tanker mafia. There are also other service providers that provide essential infrastructure maintenance and so forth to municipalities. And they may also be a part of the problem in terms of vandalizing or not necessarily maintaining the infrastructure as it should be. Root causes, I think, to look at, certainly procurement frameworks, procurement design, because it allows, you know, these sometimes long-term operational contracts for emergency services. And so the question is, would be such emergency services without performance-linked contracts or without strict caps or limitations are already a red flag, you know. Then weak oversight and fragmented accountability across municipal departments, also state-owned utilities. There should be some form of oversight over this. It's absolutely unacceptable that reactive excuses are being made. So, you know, weak oversight is a problem or root cause. And then we have financial pressure and short-term budgeting that doesn't appear to be linked or aligned to best practice, because it seems to favor these pay-as-you-go, stopgap, emergency types of spending over the capital investment you mentioned earlier. Very likely a root cause, criminal networks that infiltrate and exploit these governance gaps, you know, by sabotaging infrastructure, for example, or creating artificial scarcity. And I must say then there's also poor community participation and a lack of transparent data on such things. Because if communities are involved and there was more transparency, there was more information about these issues, surely there'd be more proactive decision making.
Dr. Goldman, how do we start to deal with this problem? Because we've seen in markets like the construction space, where we've heard of things like the construction mafia as well in that space, it actually halts the progress of things being done and services being delivered. And in the case of water, we can ill afford to have communities without running water or communities being forced to pay for water at rates that don't make sense. So how do we deal with this?
Absolutely. And you know, it's sad that communities are the ones that suffer. And ironically, it often appears to be the most vulnerable of communities that suffer. So that's seriously not acceptable. I think, you know, some practical mitigations and solutions, and I don't think there's an easy solution to this, because we appear to be dealing with problems or challenges emanating from individuals, either acting in collusion to commit fraud and corruption, and or individuals of the communities and so forth that are part of this whole thing. So it's difficult to pinpoint or identify who, where, how and why. But certainly just from a general perspective, we can look and say, look, the first thing we need to look at to mitigate is governance and procurement reforms. So municipalities need to enforce emergency only rules and the oversight that goes with it. Then again, competitive, transparent tendering. I think this will ensure a little bit more accountability and ensure oversight. We're not saying water tankers shouldn't exist, but we're saying if there was more transparency in the allocation of such, it certainly would assist in this regard. And then break single supplier dominance. I mean, how is it possible that some individuals can go and seemingly purchase multi-million rand tankers and projects on the basis of emergency type of services? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense from a feasibility perspective. So that's governance and procurement reforms. I think certainly technical and operational solutions need to be looked at. And this is where we talk about municipalities must target capital repairs. You know, use your money to fix the infrastructure. Don't use your money to address the symptoms, which is the tankers and so forth. They can deploy remote monitoring, alarm systems and as such to detect when there's vandalism or tampering. And simple little things like GPS track deliveries and so forth on the tankers will allow them to ensure that there's some form of effectiveness and efficiency and transparency when they are being invoiced. Anti-sabotage and security measures. These are issues that even we do in our homes. CCTV, secure pumping stations, community watch agreements, and many of them have security companies and or security divisions within municipalities. Surely they should be involved, as well as other law enforcement. Because if we're dealing with terrorism, then surely the security cluster needs to be involved. And then I think lastly, just in terms of this financial and planning measures, ring fence your budgets. Only allocate a certain portion for emergency type of spending. Use the rest for capital repair funds, as it should be. And then use short-term blended finance if need to address the lack of capital, specifically looking at the asset infrastructure.
Water remains an essential part of human life, and protecting the supply of water is everybody's responsibility, especially in these times. I think we'll leave the conversation on that note. Thank you so much. That was the Chief Executive Officer of the Water Institute of Southern Africa, Dr. Lester Goldman, joining us to take a look at dealing with South Africa's water crisis.